Today's Mishnah in Masechet Zavim brings us to a new perek, perek Dalet, and we now start with Mishnah Aleph. So, as you will recall, we have two very special dinim that apply to the Zav. One is the Tumas Midras din, and one is the Tumas Hesed din. Now, this is not only true about a Zav, but it's what the Gemara calls Zav and Friends. Name of a nice children's show, Zav and Friends, which would include a Nida and a Zava and a Yoledet and so on. So, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, a Nida that was Yashva im HaTahora b'mita. So let's say a Nida was Mitami Mishkav u'Moshav. So she is sitting together on a couch with a woman who is Tahar. And this is the type of thing that is a little wobbly, like much furniture is. Kippah sheberosha tamei midras. Even her tichel on her head is going to be tamei midras. What? Somebody sat on her head? Of course not. But since all begotten are able to be mekabel tumas midras. Why? Because, I mean, oftentimes people lie down in their clothes, and this woman has put her head down against the pillow with her tichel on, right? So then that would mean that it is a dover that is roy to be mekabel midras. Once it's roy to be mekabel midras, then any of the five different ways of actually making something tamei midras will apply. One of those five ways is nitle, where the person that is tame was hung up by the weight of something that is able to make mekabel midras. Well, in this case, that wobbly couch actually is going to hold up the nida, and therefore the hold up by moving her a centimeter, and that part of contributing to the weight that lifted her that centimeter was the tichel. And therefore, even the tichel on her head is considered to be tamei midras, as if somebody sat on her head. It just brings out very beautifully the concept of the nitle as one of the five drachim to be mitamei midras, and therefore just takes your mind away from this vision you have of midras being somebody actually standing or lying on something. It's a beautiful way to bring it, because we don't have a picture in our head of her friend standing on her head and bouncing up and down. The idea over here is the movement of the couch. Now, the same thing would be the rowboat. So, if Yashva Bisvina, you have two women in a rowboat. One of them is a Nida and one of them is not. It would be the same din. But forget about the person. Suppose you have things that can be mektame midras that you put all the way on top of the mast of the boat in order to make sure that the Nida that's going to be riding in this rowboat doesn't come in touch with them. Bad news, buddy, because what happened is that that's what made them tummy, because since they added their weight to the movement of the boat that moves to one side, lifting up that Nida as the waves go by, then anything on top of the mast is also going to be tummy. Whoa. Okay, now let's talk about other cases. Here we have a Nida who is carrying along a basket of clothes that was supposed to be put into the washing machine. It is a heavy basket of clothes. So, bizman shemasa an kaved tmeim. What happens to that Nida as she's carrying that heavy basket of clothes? She's holding it and she goes, oh. And therefore, it actually pulled her down by moving her. And therefore, since she's holding it against herself, it's going to pull her. And that would mean that they were matla her. They were made her hanging on them. And therefore, they're all going to be tamei midras. And now her washing machine has to be put on to the mikveh cycle. And it's not going to be enough just to run a regular cycle for those clothes. Let's take another case. If she's a zov. Now, the truth is, I shouldn't say let's take another case, because it's a very different case. We've been talking about Tumas Midras. So, Bisman Shemasan Kaveh Tumim, Bisman Shemasan Kal, if it's just a small load, then it's Tahar. But what about when it comes to Tumas Hesed? Over there, it's a whole different issue. Because a lot of these cases where we'll say that something is Tahar, we don't really mean it's Tahar. Of course, it's not Tahar, because she moved it. There's still going to be Tame through Hesed, right? Because anything that someone who has been Tame Mishkav Umoshav moves is going to be Tame because of this amazing new type of Tuma called Tumas Hesed. So even though we use the word Tame Vitar before, we don't really mean that. We meant Tame from Midras or Tar from Midras. Very important to remember that. And because of that, the Mishnah now switches to a pure discussion of Hesed so that you won't get confused. So let's talk about a Hesed case. So if a metame b'tuma yotze migufa, he moves something. So then let's imagine a case where you have a shelf that's sticking out of a wall. A zov bumps into it. And at the edge of this shelf, which is made out of stone, it's part of the building. And as a zov hits it, a piece of kikar shel truma that was balanced on the edge falls because the zov came into contact with it. What's the din? It's tar. Why? Because even though there was obviously the impact of the zov that made it fall, I mean, look, it wasn't a coincidence that just at the moment that the zov bumped into it, the earth shook with an earthquake, the wind blew with a tornado, and down came the kikar shel truma. No, it's obvious that the impact of the zov made it fall. But is it called hesed? It could have, it did fall from the impact, but impact set up resonance. Resonance makes things fall if they're carefully balanced. Did we really believe that the impact of the zov against a solid stone or concrete extension actually moved the kikar? No. But did they set up a resonance that then ended up being? Yes, of course. That's very possible. And therefore, it's tar because a resonance, vibrations, are not considered to be hesed. Only actual measurable movements are considered to be hesed. So therefore, don't confuse the two issues, which brings us to the cases in the next Mishnah as well. There are other cases. We're going to assume that when something is impacted by a zov, we need to know whether the impact was real hesed and it was an actual movement that the zov caused, or whether it was an indirect kind of thing, and because of that, the zov couldn't have moved it. So basically, there's a principle involved. The principle is, if we're talking about something that is movable, the same idea that we had about the loose boards, or the door, or the ladders, right? We're going to actually rebuild those cases to talk about them in terms of Tumas Hesed. So now, in the case where something is movable, wobbly, loose, and so on, there we assume that it's the impact of the zov. If it's something that is too strong to be moved in that fashion, it's nailed, it's cemented, or it's actually a thick tree, all of those cases that we spoke about before in terms of one person moving another also become a question in determining whether something was nisat al yedei the zov's impact, or was it just that there were vibrations that made it fell. So let's say a zov bumps into a morish. Now, a morish is the main ceiling beam. Or he hits a malbein. So he's got a frame that is attached to the ground, and he's got, or let's say, a daf. Al hatsinor. So the tsinor means you've got, it doesn't mean literally but it could. I mean, in those days, it meant like a piece of wood that was nailed in to become a gutter. But it would be the same thing if it's a gutter pipe that's attached to the roof and he bumps into it, or he bumps into a daf. Even though this daf, meaning a shelf, is only attached to the building, not with cement, it's only attached with ropes. Or he bumps into an oven, which is attached to the ground, in those days, remember. Or he bumps into a yam, which does not mean a ocean. It means the equivalent of Yam Shel Shlomo, where you build something that collects other things. The normal use of the word yam is the large container that's put under a mill. So over there, the flour that comes out of the mill falls into the yam, as it was called in those days. Or you have the same thing if it would fall on the itzrubal. The itzrubal is what you put the very heavy millstone on, and that is something that is heavy, and it's not something that's going to be moved by him directly. Or you put it on the chamor shel rechayim shel yad, which also is no more a donkey than a yam is a sea. And in this case, the meaning of the chamor is a figurative chamor, which essentially, I think it's still used today, even in modern Hebrew, we use the word chamor for a case of something that holds an electric saw. So the thing that is supporting it. Also, I believe I've heard it referred to as a chamor in the old days, back in Beis Yisrael, where all the carpenters used to be before they chased them out. So the chamor of Rechayim Shel Yad, or this sa'ah, which is the measuring pit, so to speak, of a Rechayim Shel Zeitim, but it's a big, it's the same thing as the yam, a big collecting basin. So Rabbi Yossi says, even if al korata balanim, forget about the korah of the roof, even if he bumps into the korah that the balan in the mikveh sits on, he's the guy that takes care of everything. Today also he's called the balan. So he's the guy that provides the towels and he takes care of the water and so on and so forth. So there used to be the korah that was such a heavy piece of wood that it's unlikely that it would move from bumping into. And therefore, in all such cases, if there was something that could be mekabel tuma, so say you had a loaf of bread on it, it would be tahor, because even though it fell, the moment that the zov hits it, it didn't fall from the heset of the zov, it fell from the secondary heset, of sort of like a resonance that's set up by the movement that was caused in the actual thing that it was. It's like the wind is obviously not enough to move the ocean, but it's enough to set up very profound resonances in the ocean, which then create waves that can be 20 feet high, right? So it's the same thing over here. It's not as if the wind made a 20-foot high wave, but the vibrations caused by the wind did create 20-foot high waves. Same thing is true of the impact of the Zov, and that caused something to fall off of it. But therefore, it's not Hesed. And even though it's clearly directly related to the fact that the Zov bumped into it, it's also going to be Tahar. Lovely. What a clear and beautiful kind of halacha. Okay, gentlemen. Now we're well into our way in Perek Daled. Signing off from Zov and Friends today. Kol Tov.